Item, concerning auricular confession, he answereth that he hath and doth believe that it is necessary to go to a good priest for good counsel, but the absolution of the priest, laying his hands upon any man's head, as is now used, is nothing profitable to a Christian man's salvation. And further he saith that he hath not been confessed, nor received the sacraments of the altar, since the coronation of the queen that now is. Item, concerning the faith and religion now taught, set forth and believed in the Church of England, he answereth and believeth that the faith and doctrine now taught, set forth and used in the said Church of England, is not agreeable to God's word. And furthermore he saith that Bishop Hooper, Cardmaker, Rogers, and others of their opinion, which were of late burned, were good Christian men, and did preach the true doctrine of Christ, as he believeth, and saith, that they did shed their blood in the same doctrine, which was by the power of God, as he saith and believeth. And further being examined, he saith that since the Queen's coronation, he hath had the Bible and Psalter in English read in his house at Brighthelmstone divers times, and likewise since his coming into Newgate. But the keeper, hearing thereof, did take them away, and saith also that about a 12-month now past, he had the English procession said in his house with other English prayers. And further saith that Thomas Iveson, John Launder, and William Bessey, being prisoners with him at Newgate, were taken with this examinate in his house at Brighthelmstone, as they were hearing of the gospel, then read in English, a little before All Hallowtown day last past, and brought into the court, and being examined thereupon by the council, were committed by them to prison in Newgate. The Confession of John Launder, before Bonner Bishop of London. John Launder, husbandman of the parish of Godstone, in the county of Surrey, of the age of 25 years, born at Godstone aforesaid, being examined, doth confess and say, that about 2 days next before All Hallowtown tide last past, this examinate and one Derrick Carver, Thomas Iveson, William Bessey, with divers other persons to the number of 12, being altogether in their prayers and saying the service in English, set forth in the time of King Edward VI in the house of the said Derrick, situate at Brightonhamstead in Sussex, were apprehended by one Master Edward Gage, and by him sent up hither to London to the King and Queen's Council, and by them, upon his examination, committed to Newgate, where he, with his said other fellows, hath ever since remained in prison. And further being examined, he doth confess and say that the occasion of his coming to the said Brighthelmstone was upon certain business there to be sped for his father, and so being there, and hearing that the said Derrick was a man that did much favor the gospel, this examinate did resort to his house and company, whom before that time he did never see or know. And by reason of that his resort, he was apprehended as before, and further doth confess and believe that there is here in earth one whole and universal Catholic Church, whereof the members be dispersed throughout the world, and doth believe also that the same Church doth set forth and teach only two sacraments, these the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of the supper of our Lord. And whosoever doth teach or use any more sacraments, or yet any ceremonies, he doth not believe that they be of the Catholic Church, but doth abhor them from the bottom of his heart, and doth further say and believe that all the service, sacrifices, and ceremonies now used in the realm, in this realm of England, yea, and in all other parts of the world, which have been used after the same manner, be erroneous and not, and contrary to Christ's institution, and the determination of Christ's Catholic Church, whereof he believeth that he himself is a member. Also he doth confess and believe that in the sacrament, now called the sacrament of the altar, there is not really any truly contained, under the forms of bread and wine, the very natural body and blood of Christ in substance, but his belief and faith therein is as followeth, viz., that when he doth receive the material bread and wine, he doth receive the same in remembrance of Christ's death and passion, and, so receiving it, he doth eat and drink Christ's body and blood by faith, and none other ways as he believeth. And moreover, he doth confess, say, and believe, that the Mass now used in the realm of England, or elsewhere in all Christendom, is not an abominable, and directly against God's Word, and his Catholic Church, and that there is nothing said or used in it good and profitable. For he saith, that albeit the Gloria in Excelsis, the Creed, Sanctus, Paternoster, Agnus, and other parts of the Mass be of themselves good and profitable, yet the same being used amongst other things, that be not and superfluous in the mass, the same good things do become not also as he believeth. Also he doth believe and confess that our regular confession is not necessary to be made to any priest or to any other creature, but every person ought to acknowledge and confess his sins only to God, and that also no person hath any authority to absolve any man from his sins, and also believeth that the right and true way, according to the Scripture, after a man hath fallen from grace to sin, to arise to Christ again, is to be sorry for his offenses, and to do the same or the like no more, and not to make any auricular confession of them to the priest, either to take absolution for them at the priest's hands. All which his said opinions he hath believed by the space of these 7 or 8 years past, and in that time hath diverse and many times openly argued and defended the same, as he saith, etc. Articles objected by Bonner, Bishop of London, against Derrick Carver and John Launder. First, I do object against you, and every of you, that ye and every of you, being within the said prison of Newgate, and within the said city of London, are of my jurisdiction, being Bishop of London, and subject unto the same offending and trespassing within the said prison and city in matters of religion, and concerning the Catholic faith and belief of the Church in any wise. Two, item, I do not object against you and every of you, that ye and every of you, since your first coming and entering into the said prison, and during your abode there, both there and in sundry places within this city and diocese of London, have holden, maintained, and defended sundry opinions against the sacraments of the Church, especially against the sacrament of penance, and also against the sacrament of the altar. 3. Item, I do likewise object that ye, and every one of you, in all or some of the said places, have, as concerning the sacrament of the altar, holden, maintained, and defended to the best of your power, that in the said sacrament of the altar there is not the very substance of the body and blood of our Savior Christ, but that in the sacrament there is only the substance of natural bread and wine, and no other substance. Item. 4. Item, I do likewise object that you, and every of you, in all or some of the said places, have, concerning the Mass in Latin now used in the Church, and the sacrifice of the same, holden, maintained, and likewise defended, that the said Mass is not good nor profitable, and that there is no sacrifice in the same. 5. Item, I do likewise object that you and every of you, in all or some of the places, have, concerning the ceremonies of the Church, holden, maintained, and likewise defended, that the said ceremonies are not profitable to a Christian man, but hurtful and evil. 6. Item, I do likewise object that you and every of you, in all or some of the said places, have, concerning the sacraments of penance, holden, maintained, and likewise defended, that our auricular confession, being a part thereof, albeit it may be made unto a good priest for counsel, yet the absolution of the priest laying his hand upon any man's head, and doing as is now usually done in the Church, is nothing profitable to any man's salvation, and that therefore ye neither have been confessed to the priest after the usual manner of the Church, nor yet received the said sacrament of the altar since the coronation of the Queen's Majesty, which is more than the space of 1.5 years. 7. Item, I do likewise object that ye and every of you, in all or some of the said places, concerning the faith and religion now taught, set forth, used, and believed in the Church of this realm of England, and the doctrine of the same, have holden, believed, and said that it is not agreeable to God's word, but clean contrary to the same. 8. Item, I do likewise object that ye and every of you, in all or some of the said places, have believed, spoken, and said, and to your power have holden, maintained, and said that Bishop Hooper, Cardmaker, Rogers, and others of their opinion, which of late within this realm were burnt for heresy, were good Christian men, in speaking and holding against the said sacrament of the altar, and that they did preach nothing but the true doctrine of Christ, shedding their blood for the maintenance of the said doctrine. 9. Item, I do likewise object that ye and every of you have earnestly labored and travailed to the best and uttermost of your power to have up again the English service, and the communion in all points, as was used in the latter days of King Edward VI here in the realm of England. 10. Item, I do likewise object that ye and every of you have thought and do think firmly and steadfastly, and so have and do believe, that the faith, religion, and doctrine set forth in the said times of the foresaid King Edward was in all points good and godly, containing in it the true faith and religion of Christ in every part. 11. Item, I do likewise object and say that ye and every of you, for your misbelief, offense, transgression, and misbehavior in the premises, and for that also you would not come to your several parish churches and hear your divine service there, as other Christian people did and do, but absent yourself from the same, and have your private service in your houses, especially in the house of Derek Carver, were sent up to the King and Queen's Majesty Privy Council, and by them, or some of them sent afterward into the prison of Newgate, aforesaid, having there, by their authority, remained as prisoners during all the time ye have been there. 12. Item. I do likewise object and say that I, the said Bishop of London, was commanded by the authority of the said council to make process against you, and every of you, so that it was not my procuring or searching that ye should be commanded or called before me in this matter of heresy, but partly your own demerits, and partly the said commandments, and forced me to call and send for you to make answer herein, and hereof to show you the said letters. Upon Monday, being the said 10th day of June, these two persons, with others, were brought by the keeper unto the bishop's consistory, as it was before commanded, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, where the bishop, first beginning with the said Derek Carver, caused his confession with the articles and answers to be openly read unto him, which order he kept at the condemnation of every prisoner, asking him whether he would stand to the same, to whom the said Derek answered that he would, for your doctrine, quoth he, is poison and sorcery. If Christ were here, you would put him to a worse death than he was put to before. You say that you can make a god, you can make a pudding as well. Your ceremonies in the church be beggary and poison, and further I say that auricular confession is contrary to God's word, and very poison, with divers other such words. The bishop, seeing this constancy, and that neither his accustomed flatteries nor yet his cruel threatenings could once move this good man to incline to their idolatry, pronounced his usual and general blessings as well towards this Derek as also upon the said John Launder, although severally, who, after the like manner of process used with him, remained in the same constancy, as did the other, and therefore were both delivered unto the sheriffs, who were there present, but afterwards were conveyed to the places above named, and there most joyfully gave their bodies to be burnt in the fire, and their souls into the hands of Almighty God, by Jesus Christ, who had assured them a better hope of life. This Derek was a man whom the Lord had blessed as well with temporal riches, and with his spiritual treasures, which riches yet were no clog or let unto his true professing of Christ, the Lord by his grace so working in him. Of the time, there was such havoc made by greedy raveners of that time, that his poor wife and children had little or none thereof, during his imprisonment, although he was well stricken in years, and, as it were, past the time of learning, yet he so spent his time, that being at his first apprehension utterly ignorant of any letter of the book, he could, before his death, read perfectly any printed English, whose diligence and zeal is worthy no small condemnation. And therefore I thought it good not to let it pass over in silence, for the good encouragement and example of others. Moreover, at his coming into the town of Lewes to be burned, the people called upon him, beseeching God to strengthen him in the faith of Jesus Christ. He thanked them and prayed unto God that of his mercy he would strengthen them in the like faith. And when he came to the sign of the star, the people drew near unto him, where the sheriff said that he had found him a faithful man in all his answers. And as he came to the stake, he kneeled down and made his prayers, and the sheriff made haste. Then his book was thrown into the barrel, and when he had scripted himself, as a joyful member of God, he went into the barrel himself. And as soon as ever he came in, he took up his book and threw it among the people. And then the sheriff commanded, in the king and queen's name, on pain of death, to throw in the book again. And immediately that faithful member spake with a joyful voice, saying, Dear brethren and sisters, witness to you all that I am come to seal with my blood Christ's gospel, because I know that it is true. It is unknown unto all you, but that it hath been truly preached here in Lewes and in all places of England, and now it is not. And for because that I will not deny here God's gospel and be obedient to man's laws, I am condemned to die. Dear brethren and sisters, as many of you as do believe upon the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost unto everlasting life, see you do the works appertaining to the same. And as many of you as do believe upon the Pope of Rome, or any of his laws which he set forth in these days, you do believe to your utter condemnation, and accept the great mercy of God, you shall burn in hell perpetually. Immediately the sheriff spake unto him and said, If thou dost not believe on the Pope, thou art damned body and soul. And further the sheriff said unto him, speak to thy God that he may deliver thee now, or else to strike me down, to the example of his people. But this faithful member said, The Lord forgive you your sayings. And then spake he again to all the people there present with a loud voice, saying, Dear brethren, and all you whom I have offended in words or in deed, I ask you for the Lord's sake to forgive me, and I heartily forgive all you which have offended me in thought, word, or deed. And he said further in his prayer as followeth. Derek's prayer at his death. O Lord my God, thou hast written, He that will not forsake wife, children, house, and all that ever he hath, and take up thy cross and follow thee, is not worthy of thee. But thou knowest that I have forsaken all to come unto thee. Lord, have mercy upon me, for unto thee I commend my spirit, and my soul doth rejoice in me. These were the last words of that faithful member of Christ before the fire was put to him. And after that the fire came to him, he cried, O Lord, have mercy upon me, and he sprung up in the fire, calling upon the name of Jesus, and so ended. Thomas Iverson, or Iverson, apprehended with Derrick and others, and suffered at Chichester. At Chichester, about the same month, was burned one Thomas Iverson of Godstone in the county of Surrey, carpenter, whose apprehension, examination, and condemnation, for as much as was at one time and in one form with Derrick Carver and John Launder, I do here omit, referring the reader to their history and process before mentioned, saving only this his several confession and private answers made before Bishop Bonner at his last examination in the consistory. I thought not to pretermit, who, being examined upon the foresaid articles, answered as followeth. The answers of Thomas Iverson to the objections of Bishop Bonner of London in a chamber at his house in the month of July. First, that he believed that there is but one Catholic universal and whole Church of Christ through the whole world, which hath and holden the true faith and all the necessary articles of Christian belief and all the sacraments of Christ with the true use and administration of the same. Two, item, that he is necessarily bounden to believe and give credit in all the said faith, articles of the belief, religion, and the sacraments of Christ and the administration of the same. Three, item, that the faith, religion, and administration of sacraments, which now is believed, used, taught, and set forth in this our Church of England, is not agreeing with the truth and faith of Christ, nor with the faith of the said Catholic and universal Church of Christ. Four, item, concerning the sacraments of the altar, he believeth that it is a very idol, the detestable, and detestable before God, as it is now ministered. Five, item, that the Mass is not, and not the institution of Christ, but that it is man's invention, and being demanded whether anything used in the Mass be good, he said that he would answer no further. Six, item, that he had not received the sacrament of the altar, since it had been ministered as now it is in England, neither was confessed at any time within these 7 years, nor hath he heard any Mass by the same space. Seven, that auricular confession is not necessary to be made to a priest, for that he cannot forgive nor absolve him from sins. Eight, item, concerning the sacrament of baptism, that it is a sign and token of Christ as circumcision was, and none otherwise, and he believeth that his sins are not washed away thereby, but his body only washed, for his sins be washed away only by Christ's blood. Nine, item, that there be in the Catholic Church of Christ only two sacraments, that is to say, the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of the Supper of the Lord, and no more, which are not rightly used at this present time in England, and therefore be unprofitable. 10. Item, he believeth that all ceremonies now used in the Church of England are vain, superfluous, superstitious, and naught. Furthermore, the said Iverson, being earnestly travailed withal to recant, said in this wise, I would not recant and forsake my opinion and belief for all the goods in London. I do not appeal to God's mercy. I do appeal to God's mercy, and will be none of your church, nor submit myself to the same. And that I have said, I will say again. And if there came an angel from heaven to teach me any other doctrine than that which I am now in, I would not believe him. Which answer thus made, he was condemned as a heretic, and with the same persons was committed to the secular power, as they term it, and at the place above mentioned was burned, persevering still in his constant faith unto the end. John Aylworth. In the latter end of the month of July, John Aylworth died in prison at the town of Reading. being there in bonds for the cause and testimony of the truth of the Lord's gospel, whom, although the Catholic prelates, according to their usual solemnity, did exclude out of their Catholic burial, yet we see no cause why to exclude him out of the number of Christ's holy martyrs and heirs of his holy kingdom. James Abbess, a martyr of blessed memory, suffering for the true cause of Christ's gospel. Among many that travailed in the troublesome days to keep a good conscience, there was one James Abbess, a young man, who, through compulsion of the tyranny then used, was enforced to have his part with his brethren in wandering and going from place to place to avoid the peril of apprehending. But when time came that the Lord had another work for him to do, he was caught by the hands of wicked men and brought before the Bishop of Norwich, Dr. Hopton, who, examining him of his religion and charging him therewith very sore, both with threats and fair speech, at the last the said poor James did yield and relented to their naughty persuasions, although his conscience consented not thereto. Now when he was dismissed and should go from the bishop calling him again, gave him a piece of money, either 40 pence or 20 pence, whether I know not, which then the said James had received and was gone from the bishop, his conscience began to throb and inwardly to accuse this fact, how he had displeased the Lord by consenting to their beastly delusions, in which combat with himself, being piteously vexed, he went immediately to the bishop again, and there threw him his said money, which he had received at his hand, and said, it repented him that he ever gave his consent to their wicked persuasions, and he gave his consent in taking, and that he gave his consent in taking of his money. Now this being done, the bishop with his chaplains did labor afresh to win him again, but in vain, for the said James Abbess could not yield for any of them all, although he had played Peter before through infirmity, but stood manfully at his master's quarrel to the end, and abode the force of fire, and the consuming of his body into ashes, which tyranny of burning was done in Bury, the second day of August, A.D. 1555. A discourse of the apprehension, examination, and condemnation of John Denley, gentleman, John Newman, and Patrick Pappingham, martyred for the testimony of Christ's gospel. In the midst of this tempestuous rage of malignant adversaries, persecuting and destroying the poor flock of Christ, many there were who, though they were not spiritual men, yet thought to help forward for their parts, and, as one would say, to heap up more coals to this furious flame of persecution, whether of a blind zeal or a parasitical flattery, I know not, amongst which one was Edmund Hurrell, Esquire, and at that time a justice of peace within the county of Essex, and a sister, as it seemeth, to cruel murders of God's saints, who, as he came from the burning and death of certain godly martyrs, met both Master John Denley, gentleman, and one John Newman, both of Maidstone and Kent, traveling upon the way, and going to visit such their godly friends as then they had in the county of Essex. And upon the sight of them, as he yet braggeth, first upon suspicion apprehended and searched them, and at the last, finding the confessions of their faith and writing about them, sent them up to the Queen's commissioners, directing also unto one of the same commissioners these his favorable letters in their behalf, the copy whereof here may appear as followeth. A copy of Edmund Tyrrell's letter to one of the Queen's commissioners. Sir, with most hearty commendations unto you, these shall be to advertise you that I have received a letter from Sir Nicholas Hare and you and others of the King and Queen's Majesty's commissioners by a servant of the King and Queen called John Sales for certain business about St. Osyth's, the which I could not immediately go about, for that I had received a letter from the council to assist the sheriff for the execution of the heretics, the one at Raleigh and the other at Rochford, the which was done on Tuesday last. And as I came homeward, I met with two men. Even as I saw them, I suspected them, and then I did examine them and search them, and did find about them certain letters which I have sent you, and also a certain writing and paper, what their faith was. And they confessed to me that they had forsaken and fled out of their country for religion's sake. And since they have been in many countries by their confession, which I have sent you, for the which I thought it good, for that they came from London, and that there might be more had of them than I had yet understood, to send them to you, whereby you and others of the King and Queen's commissioners there might try them so that their lewdness might be thoroughly known. For I think these have caused many to trouble their consciences. So this hath been some let to me, wherefore I could not go about those matters expressed in your letters. But tomorrow at noon I intend by God's grace to accomplish your letters with as much diligence as I may, and thus the Holy Trinity have you ever in his keeping. I beseech you to be so good, Master, to discharge these poor men that bring these prisoners up as soon as may be. And thus most heartily farewell from Ramsden Park, the 12th of June, 1555. By your assured to command, Edmund Tyrrell. For so much as in this letter, mention is made of certain writing and paper found about them of their faith. What this writing was and what were the contents of it, the copy thereof here ensueth. Certain notes collected and gathered out of the scriptures by John Denley, gentleman, with a confession of his faith touching the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, found about him ready written at his apprehension. Christ is in the sacrament, as he is where two or three are gathered together in his name. The difference of doctrine between the faithful and the papists concerning the sacrament is that the papists say that Christ is corporally under or in the forms of bread and wine, but the faithful say that Christ is not there, neither corporally nor spiritually, but in them that worthily eat and drink the bread and wine, he is spiritually, but not corporally. For figuratively, he is in the bread and wine, and spiritually, he is in them that worthily eat and drink the bread and wine, but really, carnally and corporally, he is only in heaven, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. My belief in the sacrament of the blessed body and blood of my Savior Jesus Christ. As concerning the sacrament of the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, my belief is this, that the bread and wine is appointed unto a sacrament, and that after thanks be given to God the Father, then it doth represent unto me the very body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Not that the bread is the body, or the wine the blood, but that I in faith do see that blessed body of our Savior broken on the cross, and his precious blood plenteously shed for the redemption of my sins. Also in faith I hear him call us unto him, saying, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are laden, and I will refresh you. In faith I come unto him, and I am refreshed, so that I believe that all that do come unto the table of the Lord, in this faith, fear, and love, being sorry for their offenses, intending earnestly to lead a godly conversation in this vale of misery. Do receive the fruit of the death of Christ, which fruit is our salvation. I do understand, spiritually, that as the outward man doth eat the material bread which comforteth the body, so doth the inward man, through faith, eat the body of Christ, believing that as the bread is broken, so was Christ's body broken on the cross for our sins, which comforteth our souls unto life everlasting, and signifying thereby that even as that bread was divided among them, so should his body and fruit of his passion be distributed unto as many as believed his words. But the bread broken and eaten in the supper monisheth and putteth us in remembrance of his death, and so exciteth us to thanksgiving, to laud and praise God for the benefit of our redemption. And thus we there have Christ present in the inward eye and sight of our faith. We eat his body and drink his blood. That is, we believe surely that his body was crucified for our sins, and his blood shed for our salvation. Christ's body and blood are not contained in the sacramental bread and wine, as the papists have said, and as some yet do say, as ye read in these scriptures following. First read in Matthew 9, Luke 5, Matthew 24 and 26, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 13, Luke 23, in the end, John 14, 15, 16, 17, Acts 1, 3, 7, and 9, Romans 8, Psalm 8, 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, Exodus 12, Colossians 1, Ephesians 1 and 4, Philippians 1 and 2, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 4, Hebrews 1, 5, 8, 9, 10, and 12, 1 Peter 3, Psalm 11, and 57, and 103, and 10, I think. Christ's material body is not in all places, as these scriptures do testify hereafter. First, read St. Matthew the last, Mark the last, Luke the last, John 11:20-21, these places of the scripture do plainly declare that his body that was born of the Virgin Mary cannot be in more places than one, and that is in heaven on the right hand of God, and not in the sacrament, nor in all places, as the papists have affirmed, and yet do affirm. Therefore, whosoever they be that do worship the creatures of bread and wine, do commit idolatry, and make abominable idols of them, and take the glory from God, and give it to his creatures, which is contrary to the mind of God, as these scriptures hereafter do testify. First in Exodus 20:22-23-24, Leviticus 19, Deuteronomy 4:6-32, Psalm 80, Isaiah 45, Malachi 2, Matthew 4, Luke 4, Acts 14, Revelation 14, Psalm 98, 1 Corinthians 8, Ephesians 4, 1 Timothy 2, 1 John 5, Revelation 19:22. A letter sent by the said John Denley unto John Simon and Ardley, with others, imprisoned for the true profession of Christ. Brethren all, who are in bonds for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, I wish you help in Christ, and all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ, in pureness of mind, unfeignedly, increase of grace, that ye might abide steadfast in all good works unto the end. Brethren, I greatly rejoice in your confidence and steadfast faith that ye have in the blood of Jesus Christ. God is highly to be magnified and praised, I hope, in you, that he hath so wrought his mighty power that ye are able to give your lives for his truth's sake, and for your brethren, that his great power might be known in you, as it is in them who already, God be praised, have given their lives for his truth, who are now in rest and clothed with the white garment that St. John speaketh of in the Revelation, and lie under the altar, saying, How long tarriest thou, Lord, holy and true, to judge and to avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Remember that Christ hath promised to them that continue to the end everlasting life. Remember Moses in the Hebrews, who, when he was great, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and chose rather to suffer adversity with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, and esteemeth the rebuke of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. For he had a respect unto the reward. Death is a vantage. When it cometh, it bringeth rest, and the battle is ended. The Lord that hath begun this good work in you, finish it to the end. Friends, pray for me, as I hope I pray for you, that God of his goodness may finish the good work that he hath begun in me, that I may take up his cross and follow him to the end. So be it. By me, John Denley. Now to return to the commissioners again. They, receiving these prisoners aforementioned, after they saw they could little prevail in their own persuasions, sent them unto Bishop Bonner, to be handled after his fatherly and charitable discretion, which how discreet and favorable it was, as well the history of others, as also the sequel of this, doth manifestly declare, for the 28th of June, then next following, he caused the said Denley and Newman, with one Patrick Passingham, to be brought into his chamber within his house or palace, there examining them upon their confessions, which Tyrell had found about them, objecting also unto them certain other articles of his own. To the which they all answered in effect one thing, although Denley answered more largely than the others, and therefore I thought it enough only to manifest his as sufficient, and in no part differing from the others, except that Pathingham had one article of no great force objected to him, which the rest had not. This done, the bishop used with them his accustomed persuasions, to the which Master Denley said, God save me from your counsel, and keep me in the mind that I am in, for that you count heresy I take to be the truth. And thereupon they were commanded to appear in the bishop's consistory of the 5th of July, then next coming, in the afternoon, where these articles were objected against them. The articles objected by Edmund Bonner, Bishop of London, against John Denley, John Newman, and Patrick Patchingham, jointly and severally the 28th of June, 1555. First, that the said N now is of the Diocese of London, and the jurisdiction of the Bishop of London. That the said N hath not believed, nor doth believe, that there is any Catholic Church of Christ here in earth. that the said N hath not believed, nor doth believe, that this Church of England is any part or member of the said Catholic Church, that the said N hath believed and doth believe that the Mass now used in this realm of England is not, and full of idolatry and evil, and plain against God's word, and therefore he, the said N, hath not heard it, nor will hear it, that the said N hath believed and doth so believe that auricular confession, used now in this realm of England, is not good, but contrary to God's word, that the said N hath believed, and doth so believe that the absolution given by the priest hearing confession is not good, nor allowable by God's word, but contrary to the same, that the said N hath believed, and doth so believe that christening of children, as it is now used in the Church of England, is not good, nor allowable by God's word, but against it, likewise confirming of children, giving of orders, saying of matins and evensong, anointing or anoiling of the sick persons, making of holy bread and holy water with the rest of the church. That the said N hath believed and doth so believe that there are but two sacraments in Christ's Catholic Church, that is to say, the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of the altar. That the said N hath believed and doth so believe that forasmuch as Christ is ascended up into heaven, therefore the very body of Christ is not in the sacrament of the altar. That thou, Patrick Patchingham, now being of the age of 21 at the least, being within the house of the Bishop of London at Paul's, and by him brought to the great chapel to hear Mass there, the said 23rd day of June, the year of our Lord, 1555, didst unreverendly stand in the said chapel, having thy cap on thy head all the Mass while, and didst also refuse to receive holy water and holy bread at the priest's hands, there contemning and despising both the Mass and the said holy water and holy bread. The answers of John Denley and the rest to the articles objected. To the first article I answer, it is very true. To the second article I answer, that it is not true, for I believe the Holy Catholic Church, which is builded upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles, Christ being the head, which Holy Church is the congregation of the faithful people, dispersed through the whole world, the which church doth preach God's holy word truly, and doth also minister the two sacraments, that is to say, baptism and the supper of the Lord, according to his blessed word. To the third article I answer, that I do believe that this Church of England, using the faith and religion which is now used, is no part or member of the aforesaid Catholic Church, but it is the Church of Antichrist, the Bishop of Rome being the head thereof. For it is plain that they have altered the testament of God and set up a testament of their own devising, full of blasphemy and lies, for Christ's testament is that he would have all things done to the edifying of the people, as it appeareth when he taught them to pray, and also it appeareth by St. Paul, for he saith that he that prophesieth speaketh unto men for their edifying, for their exhortation, and for their comfort. He that speaketh with the tongue profiteth himself. He that prophesieth edifieth the congregation. Also he saith, even so likewise when ye speak in tongues, except ye speak words that have signification, how shall it be understood what is spoken? For ye shall but speak in the air. That is as much to say, in vain. Also he saith, thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet I had rather in the congregation to speak 5 words with understanding to the information of others than 10,000 words with the tongue. Also he saith, let all things be done to edification. Also it is written in the Psalms, for God is King of all the earth. O sing praises unto him with understanding, etc. So it doth appear that this Church of England, now used, is not builded upon Christ, if St. Paul's words be true, and also the Psalms. Therefore this church is not builded upon the prophets, apostles, nor Christ, as I have declared before. To this fourth article I answer, and I do believe, as I have aforesaid, that the Mass now used in this realm of England is not an abominable idolatry and blasphemy against God's holy word. For Christ in his holy supper instituted the sacraments of bread and wine to be eaten together in remembrance of his death till he come, and not to have them worshipped and make an idol of them. For God will not be worshipped in his creatures, but we ought to give him praise for his creatures, which he hath created for us. For he saith in the second commandment, thou shalt not make to thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor worship them. So it appeareth by this commandment that we ought not to worship the sacrament of bread and wine, for it is plain idolatry. for he saith, no similitude. Therefore thou shalt not bow down to them, nor worship them. I pray you, what you call kneeling down, holding up the hands, knocking up the breast, putting off the cap, and making curtsy, with other like superstition, you would make men to be so blind that this is no worshipping. Peradventure, you will object and say, you do not worship the bread and wine, but Christ's body, which was born of the Virgin Mary, contained under the forms of bread and wine. But that is a very lie, for Christ's body that was born of the Virgin Mary is in heaven, if St. Paul's words be true, as undoubtedly they are. For he saith, but this man, after he hath offered one sacrifice for sins, is set down forever on the right hand of God, and from henceforth tarrieth till his foes be made his footstool. Also he saith, for Christ is not entered into holy places that are made with hands, which are similitudes of true things, but is entered into the very heaven, to appear now in the sight of God for us, etc. Also, but our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, even the Lord Jesus Christ, etc. For they themselves show of you what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye return to God from images, to serve the living God, and to look for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the death, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come, etc. Also, I went out from the Father and came into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father, etc. Now I am not in the world, and they are in the world, and I come to thee. All these places of the Scripture, with other more, prove plainly to them that have ears that Christ's body was born of the Virgin Mary, is in heaven, and not in the sacramental bread and wine, and therefore it is idolatry to worship them, etc. To the fifth article I answer, that I do believe, as I have aforesaid, that auricular confession is not good, as it is now used. Touching my sins, wherein I have offended God, I must seek to him for remission thereof, for our Savior Christ saith, come unto me, all you that labor and are laden, I will ease you, etc. The rioted son saith, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, etc. I said I will acknowledge mine offenses and accuse myself unto the Lord, and so thou forgavest me the wickedness of my sin, etc. But I will reprove mine own ways in his sight. He shall make me whole, and there may be no hypocrite come before him. The son of Sirach saith, who can be cleansed of the unclean? And there was but one of the 10 lepers that was cleansed that came to Christ to give him thanks. He asked for the other 9. But if I have offended my neighbor, I must reconcile myself to my neighbor, and if I be a riotous, a notorious sinner, after the first and second admonition, it ought to be declared to the congregation, and the minister of the congregation hath power by the word to excommunicate me. And I am to be taken as a heathen person, not for a day or 40 days, but unto such time as I do openly in the congregation acknowledge my fault. Then the minister hath power by the word to preach to me or them the remission of our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ, as it is written in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, and Matthew, chapter 18. Other confession I know none. To the sixth article, I, the said John Denley, have answered in the fifth. To the seventh article, I answer that as touching the sacrament of baptism, which is the christening of children, it is altered and changed, for St. John the Baptist views nothing but the preaching of the word in the water, as it doth appear, when Christ requireth to be baptized with him. And others also, which came to John to be baptized, as it appeareth in Matthew 3, Mark 1, and Luke 3, and in Acts 8. The chamberlain saith, see, here is water, what letteth me to be baptized? It appeareth here that Philip had preached unto him, for he said, here is water. We do not read that he asked for any cream, nor oil, not for spittle, nor conjured water, nor conjured wax, nor yet chrism, nor salt. For it seemeth that Philip had preached no such things to him, for he would as well have asked for them as for water, and the water was not conjured, but even as it was afore. Also, then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, etc.? And Paul and Silas preached unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their wounds, and so he was baptized, and all they of his household straightway. For ye see nothing but preaching the word and water. The like also is to be said of the rest of the ceremonies of your church. To the eighth article I answer shortly, that there be sacraments no more but two, baptism and the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ. except ye will make the rainbow a sacrament, for there is no sacrament but hath a promise annexed unto it. To the ninth article I do answer you, that ye have my mind written already, for it was found about me when I was taken, and also ye know my mind in the fourth article, plainly expressed concerning the bodily presence. For Christ's body is in heaven, and will not be contained in so small a piece of bread. And as the words which Christ spake are true indeed, so must they also be understood by other of the scriptures which Christ spake himself, and also the apostles after him, and thus I make an end, etc., by me, John Denley. The first day of the month of July, the said three prisoners were brought into the consistory in Paul's church, where he proceeded against them after the usual form and manner of law, reading first their confessions, articles, and answers, and then tempting them, sometimes with fair promises, otherwhiles with threatenings, which were always the cheapest arguments and reasons to persuade withal. In the end, seeing their unmovable constancy, upon the 5th of July, he condemned them as heretics, and gave them unto the sheriffs of London, as to his common executioners, who kept them until they were commanded by writ to send them unto their several places of suffering, which was for Master Denley, Uxbridge, where the 8th day of August he was burned, and being set in the fire with the burning flame about him, he sung in it a psalm. The cruel Dr. Story, being there present, commanded one of the tormentors to hurl a faggot at him, whereupon, being hurt therewith upon the face that he bled again, he left his singing and clapped both hands on his face. Truly, quoth Dr. Story to him that hurled the faggot, thou hast marred a good old song. The said John Denley, being yet still in the flame of the fire, put his hands abroad and sung again, yielding at the last his spirit unto the hands of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. After the martyrdom of Master Denley at Uxbridge, which was the 8th of August, suffered also not long after Patrick Patchingham, at the same town of Uxbridge, about the 28th of the said month. This Patchingham was charged of Bonner, as ye heard in the 10th article before, for his behavior showed in the bishop's chapel, who, at the mass time there standing, would not put off his cap, which was taken for a heinous offense. The said Patchingham, also being much labored by Bonner to recant, protested in these words to the bishop that the church which he believed was no Catholic church, but was the church of Satan, and therefore he would never turn to it, etc. Furthermore, as touching the other, which was John Newman, pewterer, dwelling at Maidstone in Kent, he was burned the last of August at Saffron, Walden, in the county of Essex, whose examination and confession of his faith and belief, for the which he was cruelly burnt and persecuted, hereunder followeth. The story of John Newman, martyr. John Newman first was apprehended in Kent, dwelling in the town of Maidstone, and there was examined before Dr. Thornton, Suffragan, and others at Tenderton. From thence he was brought to Bonner, and there condemned with Master Denley and Patchingham and burned at Saffron Walden, as is before storied. But because his examination and answers before the Suffragan came not then to my hands, I thought here in this place to bestow them, rather than they should utterly be suppressed. And first, what his answer was by writing the said Suffragan after his apprehension, you shall hear by the tenor of his own words as follow. It may please you to understand that for the space of all the time of King Edward's reign, we were diligently instructed with continual sermons made by such men whose faith, wisdom, learning, and virtuous living was commended unto all men under the king's hand and seal, and under the hands of the whole council. These men taught diligently a long time, persuading us by the allegations of God's word, that there was no transubstantiation nor corporal presence in the sacrament. Their doctrine was not believed of us suddenly, but by their continual preaching, and also by our continual prayer unto God that we might never be deceived. But if it were true, that God would incline our hearts unto it, and if it were not true, that we might never believe it. We weighed that they labored with God's word, and we asked the advice of our friends. Neither could we find that they preached false doctrine. We considered also, as we did learn, that the king's grace and his counsel, and the most part of the whole realm, believed as they taught, because no man preached the contrary. Also we know that the preachers were commanded by the king and laws of the realm to preach unto us such doctrine as was to the authority of God's word agreeable, and no other, and by their diligent setting forth of it, by the king's commandment, and the whole consent of the whole council, and by the authority of the Parliament, we embraced it, and received it as a very infallible truth, taught unto us for the space of 7 years, Wherefore, until such time as our consciences are otherwise taught and instructed by God's word, we cannot with safeguard of our consciences take it, as many suppose at this time. And we trust in God that the Queen's Merciful Highness, neither yet her most honorable counsel, will in a matter of faith use compulsion nor violence, because faith is the gift of God and cometh not of man, neither of man's laws, neither at such time as men require it, but at such time as God giveth it. The examination and answers of John Newman, martyr, before Dr. Thornton and others. First, one of the doctors, or one of the bench, either the archdeacon, or Fawcett, or some other, whose name John Newman doth not express, beginneth, asking him this wise: Doctor, how say you to this? This is my body which is given for you. Newman, it is a figurative speech, one thing spoken and another meant. As Christ saith, I am a vine, I am a door, I am a stone, etc. Is he therefore a material stone, a vine, or a door? Doctor, this is no figurative speech, for he saith, this is my body which is given for you, and so saith he not of the stone, vine, or door, but that is a figurative speech. Newman, Christ saith, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. If ye will have it so meant, then let them take and eat the cup. Doctor, nay, that is not so meant, for it is a common phrase of speech among ourselves. We say to our friend, drink a cup of drink, and yet we mean he should drink the drink and the cup. Newman, why, if you will have the one so understood, you must so understand the other. Doctor, nay, it is a common use of speech to say, drink a cup of ale or beer, and therefore it is of no figurative speech. Newman, the often using of a thing doth not make that thing otherwise than it is, but whosoever one thing is spoken and another meant, it is a figurative speech. Doctor, well, we will not stand here about, how say ye by the real presence? Is not Christ's natural body there, that he was born of the Virgin Mary? Newman, no, I do not so believe, neither can I so believe, for the soul of man doth not feed upon natural things as the body doth. Doctor, why, how then doth it feed? Newman, I think the soul of man doth feed as the angels in heaven, whose feeding is only the pleasure, joy, felicity, and delectation that they have of God. And so the soul of man doth feed and eat, through faith, the body of Christ. Collins, yea, but if the body do not feed upon natural things, the soul cannot continue with the body. Therefore the body must needs feed upon natural things, that both may live together. Newman, I grant it to be true, but yet the soul doth live otherwise than the body which doth perish. Therefore natural things but do feed the body only. I pray you, what did Judas receive at the supper? Collins, Mary, Judas did receive the very body of Christ, but it was to his damnation. Newman, why, was the devil entered into him before? Then he had both the devil and Christ in him at one time. Collins, nay, the devil did enter into him afterward. Newman, yea, and before too, what do you think? Had he but one devil? Nay, I think he had rather a legion of devils at the latter end. Collins, well, put case it be so. What say you to that? Newman, Mary, if Christ and the devil were both in Judas at once, I pray you, how did they two agree together? Collins, we grant that they were both in Judas at that time, for Christ may be where the devil is, if he will, but the devil cannot be where Christ is, except it please Christ. Newman, Christ will not be in an unclean person that hath the devil. Thornton, why, will ye not believe that Christ was in hell, and ye will grant that the devil is here? And so might he be in Judas, if it pleased him? Newman, Christ would not suffer Mary Magdalene to touch him, which sought him at his grave, and did love him entirely, much less will he suffer an ungodly man to receive him into his unclean body. Thornton, yes, seeing God may do all things, he may do what he list, and be where he will, and doth not the psalm say, he is in hell, and in all places, why should then we doubt of his being there? Though his Godhead be in all places, yet that is not sufficient to prove that his humanity is in all places. Thornton, no. Do you not believe that God is omnipotent and may do all things? Newman, I do believe that God is almighty and may do all things that he will do. Thornton, nay, but if he be omnipotent, he may do all things, and there is nothing impossible for him to do. Newman, I know God is almighty and can do all that he will, but he cannot make his son a liar. He cannot deny himself, nor can he restore virginity once violated and defiled. Thornton, what is that to your purpose? God doth not defile virginity. We speak but of things that God doth. Newman, why will ye have the humanity of Christ in all places as the Deity is? Thornton, yea, he is in all places as the Deity is, if it please him. Newman, I will promise you that seemeth to me a very great heresy, for heaven and earth are not able to contain the divine power of God, for it is in all places, as here and in every place, and yet ye will say that wheresoever the Deity is, there is also the humanity, and so ye will make him no body, but a fantastical body, and not a body indeed. Thornton, nay, we do not say that he is in all places as the Deity is, but if it please him, he may be in all places with the Deity. Newman, I promise you that it seemeth to me as great a heresy as ever I heard in my life, and I dare not grant it, lest I should deny Christ to a very man, and that were against all the Scriptures. Thornton, tush, what shall we stand reasoning with him? I dare say he doth not believe that Christ came out of his mother, not opening the matrix. Do you believe that Christ rose from the death and came through the stone? Newman, I do believe that Christ rose from the death, but I do not believe that he came through the stone, neither doth the Scripture so say. Thornton, lo, how say you? He doth not believe that Christ came through the stone, and if he doth not believe this, how shall he believe the other? If he could believe this, it were easy for him to believe the other. Newman, the Scripture doth not say he went through the stone, but it said the angels of God came down and rolled away the stone, and for fear of him the keepers became even as dead men. Thornton, ah, fool, fool, that was because the woman should see that he was risen from death. Newman, well, the Scripture maketh as much for me as it doth for you, and more too. Thornton, well, let us not stand any longer about this. Back again to the real presence. How say ye, is the body of Christ really in the sacrament, or no? Newman, I have answered you already. Thornton, well, do ye not believe that he is there really? Newman, no, I believe it not. Thornton, well, will ye stand to it? Newman, I must needs stand to it, till I be persuaded by a further truth. Thornton, nay, ye will not be persuaded, but stand to your own opinion. Newman, nay, I stand not to my own opinion. God I take to witness, but only to the Scriptures of God, and that can all those that stand here witness with me, and nothing but the Scriptures, and I take God to witness that I do nothing of presumption, but that I do is only my conscience. And if there be a further truth then, than I see, except it appear a truth to me, I cannot receive it as a truth. And seeing faith is the gift of God, and cometh not of man, for it is not you that can give me faith, nor no man else. Therefore I trust you will bear it the more with me, seeing it must be wrought by God. And when it shall please God to open a further truth unto me, I shall receive it with all my heart and embrace it. Thornton had many other questions which he did not bear away, but as I do understand, these are the chiefest. As for taunt, foolish and unlearned, he lacked none. Praise God for his gifts, and God increase us in strength. The arguments of John Newman. If the body of Christ were really and bodily in the sacrament, then whosoever received the sacrament received also the body. The wicked receiving the sacrament received not the body of Christ. Ergo, the body of Christ is not really in the sacrament. Argument. They which eat the flesh and drink the blood of Christ dwell in him, and he in them. The wicked dwell not in Christ, nor he in them. Ergo, the wicked eat not the flesh, nor drink the blood of Christ. Argument. They that have Christ dwelling in them bring forth much fruit. He that dwelleth in me, and I in him, bringeth forth much fruit. The wicked bring forth no fruit of goodness. Ergo, they have not Christ's body dwelling in them. Argument. Where remembrance is of a thing, there is imported the absence thereof. Remembrance of Christ's body is in the sacrament. Do this in remembrance of me, etc. Ergo, Christ's body there is imported to be absent. Mary, they will say, we see him not with our outward eyes, but he is commended under the forms of bread and wine, and that we see is nothing but a quality or an accident. But let them show me a quality or an accident without a substance, and I will believe them. And thus much concerning Newman's examinations and arguments.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.